If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn with me to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. Now, if you have a hard time finding Ecclesiastes, just open to about the middle of your Bible, and you should be in Psalms. And if you keep turning to the right, you will run into the book of Ecclesiastes. Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I want to talk to you for a few minutes this morning about God's plan for you. God's plan for you, Ecclesiastes, chapter 4. I'm going to start reading in verse 9. While you find your way there, just appreciate your prayers for us. Denise and I and our eldest daughter, Maddie, are leaving on Friday. We're headed over to Ukraine. We've been invited to go share at a pastor's conference in Ukraine. And so we're taking our youngest daughter, our oldest daughter, with us. Denise is 100% Ukrainian. She was born in Canada, but her family is from Ukraine originally. And my father-in-law and Denise's uncle have been involved in missions work over in Ukraine for about 40 years. And so we're going to go see some of the amazing things they've done. So thank you for your prayers on the way home. We're swinging through Warsaw, Poland, and going to preach for one of my best friends in the world, the best man at my wedding. And then we'll be back to you. So we'll miss you next weekend, but appreciate your prayers for us. All right, Ecclesiastes chapter 4. We're going to start reading in verse 9. Let's talk for a few minutes about God's plan for you. Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9. Solomon writes, "Two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. Also, if two lie together, they will keep warm, but how can one alone keep warm? Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves, and a cord of three strands is not quickly broken." Let's talk for a few minutes about God's plan for you. So, a man went to the doctor one day deeply concerned about his wife. He said, "Doc, I'm afraid that my wife is losing her hearing. Whenever I speak to her from another room, she never answers me, and I really don't know how to break it to her. She's going to be devastated." The doctor said to the man, "Are you absolutely sure?" The man said, I think so, Doc." The doctor said, "Look, before we do anything, I want you to try a simple test at home." He said, "When your wife's back is turned to you, ask her a question and see if she acknowledges you." The man said, "Okay, Doc, I'll give it a try." The man went home and waited for the opportune moment. Sure enough, his wife went into the kitchen and started preparing supper. From the living room, the man called out, "Honey, what's for supper?" But to his chagrin, his wife didn't answer him. He walked into the dining room and he called out a little louder, "Honey, what's for dinner?" But his wife never turned around. Her back was to him. She was at the counter. He thought to himself, "Oh man, it's even worse than I thought. Her hearing is really gone." The man walked to the kitchen door and he called one more time, "Honey, what's for dinner?" At that, his wife whirled around and she said, "Arthur, for the third time I told you, pot roast. I think you need to get your ears checked." Right now, we're pursuing a new 2020 vision that God has given us for our HTC family. We are here to help people believe, belong, and be light. Now, it's not belight, it's be light. This month, we've been unpacking together what that means. Believing is discovering faith in Christ and growing in our faith. Today, I want to share for a few minutes about what it means to belong. Now, Pastor Nick gently reminded me that it's belong, not be long. I promise if you will be light, I won't be long this morning. Whether you realize it or not, you have an enemy who has a diabolical plan for your life. The devil's plan for you is isolation. He wants you to live this life in loneliness, and then he wants you to spend all of eternity in isolation. In the beginning, our enemy deceived our first parents into disobeying God. Here's what we have to realize about sin. Sin is a separator. The consequence of sin is isolation. The moment that our first parents fell into sin, they were immediately separated from God. And when they became separated from God, they also became separated from one another. You remember the story, they hid from God, and they covered themselves up in front of each other. Shame and blame and conflict and dissatisfaction became part of their relationship. As the story of Genesis unfolds from Genesis chapter 3, the isolation that started in the first marriage quickly spread to the first family. In Genesis chapter 4, there is jealousy and brotherly rivalry and murderous hatred and a brother lifting his hand against his brother. In spite of all kinds of advancements in the arts and in sciences and technology, in Genesis chapter 5 and 6, the isolation that started in the first family spread to all of human society. From the beginning, the devil's plan has always been to separate us from God and to separate us from one another. But his ultimate goal is eternal isolation. Did you know that Jesus talked more about heaven and hell than anyone else in the Bible? Jesus described hell as outer darkness. In addition to the other torments that Jesus described, lost souls in hell will suffer endlessly in total isolation. There will be no one to hear them. They will have no one to converse with. There will be no camaraderie among the damned. There is no comfort to be found there whatsoever. Lost souls in hell will not endure suffering together. They will suffer entirely alone. But the good news is God has an entirely different plan. God's plan for us is belonging. God's plan is to reconcile you to himself through the blood of Christ shed on the cross so that you belong to him. Through faith in Christ, God wants to become your father and he wants you to become his child. Do you know that thought is the theology that we designed into the architecture of this sanctuary? Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God has removed the barrier that stood between us and him. There is nothing between us and God now. There is an open heaven because of the cross of Jesus Christ. When we belong to God, we also belong to his family. Other believers in him become our brothers and sisters, and the Holy Spirit is there with us to continually reinforce our connection with the Father and our connection with one another. Every day we live in the confidence that we are not alone in this world, but we belong somewhere. We belong to someone, and we belong to him. God's ultimate goal for us is belonging for all of eternity. St. Paul wrote that in heaven, we will ever be with one another and we will ever be with the Lord. Heaven is going to be a wonderful reunion. It's going to be a wonderful celebration of belonging. Now, here on earth, God wants us to practice belonging. And the place that we practice is right here in his church. Specifically, God wants us to practice belonging in a circle of intimate friends within his church, in a small group. I want to share with you for a few minutes about the heart of the 2020 vision for our church family. We're calling it the 2020 vision because the year 2020 is upon us. And then there's an important verse of scripture in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 20. St. Paul is summarizing his ministry strategy to the Ephesian elders. And Paul says in Acts 20, 20, we have taught you publicly and from house to house. You know, in the 21st century, there are a lot of new challenges to reaching people for Christ, but the way to meet those challenges is to turn to an ancient strategy. From the very beginning, the church's model for ministry was to meet together for corporate worship, like we're doing right now, and then to meet in small groups throughout the week. The 2020 vision is to reformat the entire ministry of Harvest Time according to the model of the early church, meeting corporately for worship on Sundays and other occasions, and then meeting in small groups throughout the week. In just a few minutes, we're going to dismiss you from this service, and we're going to invite you to go downstairs to the cafe for a life group expo. We have over 40 new groups for you to check out today, and we have more that are forming in the next couple of weeks. But just before we do that, I want to share with you very quickly a few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group. A few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group here at HTC. First of all, God wants you to belong to a life group for productivity. On your way in, you might have received an outline of today's sermon, and if you like, you can use the outline, look at the screens, listen, fill in the blanks, and follow along. The first reason God wants you to belong to a life group is for productivity. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, Solomon envisions the dynamics and the challenges of a walking journey, of a hike. And he contrasts in these couple verses how much better it is to take a walking journey with a companion rather than walking alone. The first observation that he makes is that people walking together travel faster than people walking alone. He writes in Ecclesiastes 4, verse 9, two are better than one because they have a good return for their work. I came across a recent New York Times article about the science of walking. A study that was done found that when two men walk together, they walk faster, they walk further, and they walk longer than when one man walks alone. The researchers concluded that the camaraderie as well as the competitive nature of men caused the men to push themselves at a faster pace than they would normally walk alone. You know, similar studies have been done on work. Two people working together don't just produce double the output, but they produce many times more work. The Bible describes this life on earth as a journey. It's a pilgrimage to heaven. In order to cover all the ground that God wants us to cover and accomplish all that God wants us to accomplish, we need the close companionship of fellow believers, the kind of companionship found in a small group. You see, if we will do this journey together, we will travel further, we will travel faster, and we will travel longer than we ever could on our own. St. Paul wrote that before we even belonged to God, before we ever even believed on Jesus, God already predetermined work for us to accomplish for his kingdom and his glory. Before we ever even came to faith, God already planned that we would make a major impact on people's lives. And in order to fulfill that purpose that God preordained for us, we need the support of a few walking buddies. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, let's not neglect meeting together as some people do, but let's encourage one another, especially in days like these, and let's think about ways to motivate one another to do acts of love and to do good works. My father-in-law grew up in the early 30s on a farm in Alberta, Canada. He was the eldest of four brothers. They worked alongside their dad. In the summer, they farmed everything by hand. And in the winter, they did logging. They cut down enormous trees with those old-fashioned two-handled saws. Since there was five men, there was always one man who was the odd man out. The man working alone could cut small branches, he could cut brush with a single hand saw, but two men working together could cut down any tree. And you know, it's the same with us. On our own, we can only make so much of an impact, but when we team up with other believers, there is no limit to what we can accomplish for the Lord. Look what we were able to do together. A few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group. Number one is productivity. A second reason God wants you to belong to a life group is recovery. Recovery. Solomon not only thought about the pace of a walking journey, he also thought about the pitfalls. Two are better than one because if one falls down, he has a friend to help him up. But pity the man who falls down and has no one to help him up. The movie 127 Hours tells the true story of 27-year-old Aaron Ralston. Aaron was canyoneering alone in Utah when his forearm became pinned by an 800-pound boulder. He hadn't told anyone that he was even going hiking or where, and he had no way to call for help. After being trapped for 5 days, Aaron was dehydrated, he was hypothermic, he was hallucinating, and he realized that if he didn't find a way to free himself, he would die. Using a dull pocket knife, he amputated his own forearm. After he freed himself, he had to rappel down a 65-foot canyon, and he had to hike 7 miles before he finally found help. By the time he was rescued, he had lost 40 pounds. Including 25% of his blood. As beautiful as life is, there are many dangers. There are many troubles. There are many pitfalls that catch us unawares. And before we know it, we find ourselves injured and stuck. That's precisely why we need the company of close Christian friends. Can I tell you, at some point in life, we all fall down. The prophet Isaiah said, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. St. Paul wrote, all of us have fallen short of God's glory. We all stumble. We all wander off God's path of goodness and truth. And when we do, we find ourselves trapped in precarious places. We get stuck in self-defeating, self-destructive patterns of living. We get stuck in addictions. We get stuck in toxic relationships. And if we don't find a way to get free, we will die like that. When we fall into sin and get stuck, we turn to God for forgiveness, but you know that we turn to God's family for healing. The Bible says in the book of James, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other so that you might be healed. When we confess our sins and we share our struggles with close Christian friends, God uses those friends to administer first aid to us. They pray for us. They encourage us from the scriptures. They encourage us by sharing their own stories of how God met them in their time of need. St. Paul wrote to the Corinthians, the same comfort that we received from God when we were struggling is now the comfort that we minister to you. God uses our Christian friends to minister to us using the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Through our friends, the Holy Spirit might have a divine word of guidance for us, or he might have special insight into the spiritual root of our problem, or he might give someone a special prayer of faith to pray by the Holy Spirit over us that brings release and breakthrough. Our Christian friends walk close beside us and they hold us steady until we're recovered and we're able to walk steadily on our own. A few reasons why God wants you to belong in a life group. Number one, productivity. Number two, recovery. Third, God wants you to belong in a life group for intimacy. The next challenge that Solomon envisions on the walking journey is the cold nights. He writes, two are better than one. If they lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one alone keep warm? Isn't it ironic that the places in the world that are hazardously hot are also, at the day, are also dangerously cold at night? You know, life is really that way. Life is just given to extremes, high highs and low lows. And through all of that, God wants us to enjoy the warmth of being genuinely close to other people. Did you know that loneliness is the worst kind of psychological suffering that people can possibly experience? Professionals that work in the area of corrections and people that work in the area of interrogation have concluded that solitary confinement is the worst possible kind of punishment and the worst form of torture possible. In fact, in many places now in the country, they are making solitary confinement illegal because it is cruel and unusual punishment. Every one of us needs a place where we are known and a place where we are needed. That's the way that God made us. Think about this one. I want you to think about this. Everybody look at me for a moment. Think about this one. Even in the absolute perfection of the Garden of Eden, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And if it's not good for him to be alone in a perfect world, how much worse is it to be alone in a sin-broken world that's full of troubles and full of conflict? What does intimacy require? One thing it requires is exclusivity. You know, you can worship with a big crowd, but you can't fellowship with one. Oh, we love everybody, but it's just not possible to be close with everybody. None of us has the capacity for that. Even Jesus ministered to crowds of thousands upon thousands of people, but Jesus fellowshiped with just a group of 12. Intimacy also requires a commitment to one another. It's more than just occasionally hanging out. Hanging out is great. Hanging out is fun. But intimacy requires a decision that we belong to one another on an ongoing basis. Another thing that intimacy requires is time together. In all of our lives, busyness is the great enemy of relationships. It's just not possible to become intimate friends with other Christians 5 minutes before service and 10 minutes after service, especially when the bicyclist made you 20 minutes late for service. It's not possible. Intimacy requires sitting together, sharing food, learning about each other. It requires frequency, and over a quantity of time, affection for one another is built up. Trust in one another is built up. Sympathy for one another is built up. Do you ever see what happens when someone you love messes up? Even though they messed up because you love them, if anybody looks at them cross-eyed, you'll mess them up. That's what happens when we spend a quantity of time. Another thing intimacy requires is vulnerability. You know, the world says that intimacy happens in the dark, but God says that intimacy happens in the light. Intimacy happens when we open up, when we share our struggles and our troubles. St. John wrote, if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, purifies us from all sin. Solomon said, honesty is better than a kiss on the lips. Listen, you can't tell the whole church every struggle you're going through, and you shouldn't. Please, don't. Most people are on a need-to-know basis. They don't need to know. But you do need someone who knows, and someone who's in your corner. Denise and I was 29, almost 29, when we got married, and we were moved here on our first anniversary. I was just about to turn 30. Because we were a little further along in our 20s, when we got married, we wanted to have kids right away. And we struggled with infertility for about 6 years. And when you're a pastor, that's a difficult prospect, because we had, at that time, a lot of sweet, wonderful older ladies in the church who would pinch us on the cheek and say, "Come on, you two, when are you going to get ready? When are you going to start a family?" And we were in a tremendous amount of pain. We wanted kids, and we couldn't have them. You know, they'd say, "When are you going to get going?" And it's like, "We're trying, all right? We're trying." If you've ever gone through treatment for infertility, it is one of the most humiliating, invasive things that you could ever possibly go through. You know, the doctor comes into your bedroom, as it were. We were suffering in pain. It wasn't something that really we could talk about to the whole congregation, but we had a small prayer group that we prayed with every other Thursday evening, and they knew. And we were able to talk about what was happening with us and how difficult it was, and they prayed for us. They not only prayed for us, they had our back. They protected us. If somebody got on us about why, you know, I'll tell you, when I got voted as the senior pastor of Harvest Time, there was about 177 people that voted, and there was only one person who voted no. And the reason she voted no is because she felt like I wasn't qualified to be a pastor because we didn't have kids. I have to tell you, that was one of the most painful things we have ever been through in our life. She had no idea the struggle that we were going through, but we had a small group of friends who knew, and they carried us through that, and they prayed us through that. By the way, the PS on that story is that, you know, Denise was supposed to start hormone therapy treatments. I was supposed to give her daily injections of hormones. Now, I don't mind taking a needle, but I really don't care to, like, stick a needle in somebody else. And the day that we were supposed to begin those injections, early in the morning, I called out to the Lord, and I said, "Lord, nothing is too hard for you. You are the one who is the author of life. Everything is in your hand." And that day, before we ever gave a single shot, we found out we were pregnant with twins. Why do we want you to join a life group here at Harvest Time Church? It's because in a life group, you'll find everything that you need to build intimate friendships with some other believers. Exclusivity, commitment, frequency, quantity of time, affection, trust, vulnerability. Don't live your life in cold isolation. Enjoy the warmth of close Christian friendships. Very quickly, I want to ask my friend Anita Tilley to join me here. Would you please welcome Pastor Anita Tilley this morning? Anita and her husband Dave and her mother-in-law were instrumental to Harvest Time starting out 30-something, we won't say how many years ago it was, 30-something years ago. They're part of our Harvest Time family for many, many years. And then the Lord called Anita to be the children's pastor and assistant pastor at Stanwich Congregational here in Greenwich. Anita served Stanwich for 15 years, and then she left staff to go complete a Master of Divinity degree at Alliance Theological Seminary. Anita just graduated this spring from Alliance Seminary, and when we knew that she was getting close to graduation, we started talking. We started having some conversations together, and I said, "Anita, we want you to pray about coming home." And at the end of this summer, Anita said, "I would love to come home to Harvest Time Church." So I want to introduce to you Pastor Anita Tilley. Pastor has agreed to come on board with us and help us with our life group ministry. She is our life group guru, and she is going to be the go-to person for this new ministry that we're launching, as well as working with the whole process of Discovery Track and assimilation. And I just want Anita to quickly greet you and just say hello.
Good morning. I've been crying the whole morning. And Pastor Glenn said this line this morning, that everyone needs a place where they are needed. And the last 4 years, when I went to seminary full-time, it was an amazing time of learning theology and Hebrew and all the great classes that were taught. But the whole time I felt this need to know, God, where is my next place? And I felt many times that I wasn't needed anywhere. And even though God said to me loud and clear that I believe in you, I needed some people also to believe in me. And I just want to encourage you this morning, if you are on the journey where you feel that you haven't really found your place, I really believe that these life groups are where we can encourage each other and find our place. And sometimes the journey is long, but just keep your eyes on Jesus and you will get there. And the journey could be longer than you hope. Mine was 4 years, and about a month ago, I was sitting in the back, and during the prayer, just loud and clear, I heard the word home. And at that moment, I knew with just 100% certainty that this is my home. So I'm really happy to be here.
Thank you so much. Anita is from, thank you, Anita. Anita is from Finland, in case you're wondering. And Anita is going to be downstairs on the lower level in the cafe. Stop down and meet Anita and check out our life groups at the end of the service. All right. Why God wants you to belong to a life group. Productivity, recovery, intimacy. Fourth, God wants you to belong for security. God wants you to belong to security. The next danger that Solomon envisions on the walking journey is from thieves. He wrote, two are better than one. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. In the ancient world and still today, muggers, robbers, violent criminals are a real threat to people on foot. But people are far less likely to be attacked when they are walking with someone else. Jesus said that our enemy, the devil, is a thief. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy. St. Peter described our adversary as a lion, looking for someone to pounce on and to devour. But in fellowship with close Christian friends, there is safety for us. When we were ministering in Kenya, our friend Pastor Mike Brown took us on a day safari to a game park. And on that safari, I learned something interesting about zebras. As long as zebras stick together, they are safe from a lion attack. When zebras run in a pack from a pursuing lion, all of their stripes moving create a pattern that confuses, it dazes the eye of a lion. The lion can't focus on a single animal in order to pounce on it and bring it down. But if one zebra gets separated away from the rest of the herd, the lion can fix his eyes on that animal and bring it down. And can I tell you, that's just like us. There is safety in numbers. We watch out for one another. We warn one another. When one of us is getting a little far off towards the fringes where we might become prey for our enemy. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, warn each other every day while there's still time, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and become hardened against God. A few reasons why God wants you to belong to a life group: productivity, recovery, intimacy, security. And finally this, Pastor Nick, you can come help us. God wants you to belong to a life group for longevity. God wants you to belong to a life group for longevity. Solomon considers one final danger of a hike, of a walking journey, and that is the battle of the will, the temptation to give in because of exhaustion or discouragement, the temptation to turn back and not finish the journey, the temptation to go back to what is comfortable and what is familiar rather than soldiering on to the goal. Solomon says that a braided rope of three strands is not easily broken. It endures. Can I tell you that there's something that makes close Christian friendships different than any other kind of friendships on earth? The difference in Christian friendships is that there is a third strand that is interwoven into every Christian friendship, and that third strand is Jesus Christ. And because of his presence interwoven into our fellowship, we don't wear out. We don't fray. We don't become divided. We don't snap under extreme tension. Jesus said, "The one who endures to the end shall be saved." St. Paul said, "Endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ. If we endure hardship, we will reign with him." James wrote, "The man who endures temptation will be blessed. It will end happily for him. He'll receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him." Beloved, listen to me. The difference between those who endure in this Christian life and those who don't is close Christian friendships. The first symptom of spiritual decline is when people become spotty in their participation in the family of God and they fall away. We want you to join a life group here at HTC because we want you to make it. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to go downstairs, check out the groups. Please meet Pastor Anita. But just before we do, let me finish with this. There was a pastor of a small parish in the English countryside. He noticed that one of his members had been missing for several weeks. On a cold, rainy night, he decided to go pay a visit to the man. When the man answered the door, he immediately knew why the pastor had come. He showed the pastor into his study where he had a nice fire going in the fireplace. The two men sat down in chairs on either side of the fire. Feeling rather embarrassed, the man just waited for the pastor to start. "Where have you been?" But instead, the pastor just sat there quietly with his hands folded for about 20 minutes. The two of them just stared wistfully at the fire. Then, without saying a word, the pastor leaned forward and he took the fireplace tongs. He picked up a red-hot coal out of the bed of embers and he set it by itself on the hearth. The two of them watched in silence while the orange glow flickered and faded from the middle of that hot coal and white ash took its place. Finally, the coal went out and a thin line of smoke curled up to the ceiling. Then the pastor reached forward again. He picked up that coal with the tongs and he put it back on the fire, and immediately it blazed into bright orange again. Just then the clock struck 9 and the pastor said, "I've got to be going." As he stepped out the front door, the man said to him, "Thank you for that fiery sermon, Pastor. I'll see you in church this Sunday." St. Francis of Assisi said, "Preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words." Belonging to other believers is what keeps the flame of faith alive inside of us so that we endure to the end. A few reasons God wants you to belong to a life group: productivity, recovery, intimacy, security, and longevity. Would you go on a walking journey with us? We sure hope you will. Would you stand this morning and give the Lord a great big praise in this place this morning?